What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, she is here, the host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show and from RE/MAX Results, Ms. Mimi Shoneman. How's it going over there?
Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. Also glad to see our good friend from Caliber Home Loans, Ms. Shelley Ferris.
Good morning.
Happy Red Hot Real Estate Show to both of you. So
100%.
Yes, and so I was very excited because I've been doing some home improvement. And so I sent Mimi the video. I will show it to you, Shelley. Okay. So I got a mini chainsaw last year. And the reason why I had to send the video, I just messed with it. I bought it and then haven't done anything with it. And when I bought it, our good friend Mimi over here is like, you got to get chainsaw pants. And I'm like, why would I know? I don't even know. I didn't even know they had chainsaw pants.
So see, you know, I'm saving you from a visit to the emergency room.
Yes. So I went out and I got chainsaw pants. And so I made sure I sent her a video of me out with my little chainsaw.
I thought and you were going to say shoes because we're a shoe person.
No,
you know,
she is practical as well. Okay. So she, like, we talk about shoes often, but she's like, she's very safe. And yeah, it just keeps me safe.
Everybody knows to get the, you know, steel toe boots when you're doing the thing.
And I had the gloves. I went and got the gloves, but I was like, chainsaw pants?
Yeah.
So I was
she's lumberjacking
exactly
and working on her back muscles.
Lumberjacking out in my backyard. Yes. That's what I'm doing. Oh, Shelley, let's get your NMLS number out of the way, please.
Okay. Mine is 367-826 and Caliber Home Loans 15622.
Perfect, perfect. And so we are not gonna be specifically talking about lumberjacking or lumberjilling, but we are gonna be talking about some construction type things during the show. But what's going on in the market before we get to that stuff, Mimi?
Well, thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. So for the week ending August 28th, our stats are new listings went down 10% to 1621, and our pending sales decreased again almost 9% to 1463.
Ooh.
And our overall inventory went down almost 18% to only 8,014 homes. And so for the whole month of July, our median sales price is still hovering right at $350,000.
Okay.
And, you know, every time I say that number, it's like, that's the median?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's amazing, really. Honestly.
It puts us on par with some of the bigger cities in the country.
Exactly right.
And so, yeah, it's just astounding, really. And this one will really blow your socks off. Days on market went down almost 54%.
Wow.
To only 19 days. Okay, so let's talk about that. 19 days, that's from the time that the house hits the market to the buyer gets the keys. That is warp speed right
yes.
there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. It hardly gives you time to pack or blow your nose.
No.
Yes.
Make sure you have all your things.
Right.
And move your utilities. You don't have time to do anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is really, really fast. And our month supply of inventory down 30% to only 1.4 months. So that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if you happen to be listening to the show for the very first time. A normal market has between 5 and 6 months of inventory. And here in the Twin Cities Metro, we have 1.4. So that is why we are still very much in a seller's market. People are asking all the time, you know, what is it like now? What is it like now? And Ms. Shelley had a great analogy about aging before the show. And life is like a roll of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Gets shorter as it gets towards the end.
That's true.
And that is
goes faster.
That is a quote from Ms. Shelley Ferris.
Yes,
here.
Actually, via my mother.
And now I have no idea why I threw that in there. There was a reason.
I'm just glad when we're talking about that inventory that we're to the point that we can do a show talking about new construction again, because for a while it seemed like because of what was going on in this the economy, there was a slowdown in new construction as well. Isn't that correct?
Well, mm-hmm. I tell you what. So there's just a whole lot of factors that are going on with new construction. And I think that a lot of times you don't think about it. You know, we hear about the basics. We hear about the lumber shortage. We hear about the chip shortage. But there are more things that are going into new construction. I would say that regulations is right up there with what drives pricing. And 24.3% of regulations are involved in the final quote for a single family home.
Okay.
And 14.6% of the final house price. And that is due to an overall increase in building code regulations.
Okay.
So you have to factor in, so the city, the county, the state, the federal government, they make their rules on things that builders have to do to make sure that they're complying with code. And we don't think about that. I know, right. I personally don't think about what is that going to do to the builder's bottom line. And what have they, what kind of things have got they got to implement into their process in order to make that happen? And that, of course, is going to drive prices up.
Mm-hmm.
And so regulations.
Cost up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, who thought of that? Obviously, we know that since the down market, there was an abundance of skilled laborers, craft laborers, we'll call them, people who had specific skill sets like plumbing, flooring, framing, right. You name it. Those framing, people,
yes. Right.
Because the building market took such a hit, those people had to leave and go get other types of employment. And perhaps some of them now, because it's been over 10 years, maybe they've retired out of the profession. So there's an enormous shortage of hourly craft workers. And I have read statistics of upwards of 250,000 people short across the country. So that is obviously, you've got to find people that can do the work. You've got to train them up to do the work. They've got to be mentored and how to be, an artisan in that particular field. And that takes time.
To follow all those new regulations that we just talked about and to keep themselves safe.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything going up, construction equipment, if you just think about one, bulldozer, let's just say, the prices of that equipment because of what it takes to build that equipment and where were they getting the parts to build that equipment. And that gets passed along to the builder who's buying the equipment and then on to the consumer who's having to pay for the use of that equipment.
That's so true.
And you don't think about those little things.
No. All that rolls up.
Yep. And hourly rates of just, employment, because there's such a shortage of workers overall, just finding bodies that breathe to do the work and you've got to pay them more.
Yes,
you do. And insurance costs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So all of that, including the, how scarce actual land is. If you think about, let's just take Woodbury, for instance. Does anybody know? Is there any land left in that city? Have they reserved any? I don't know. That's a pet peeve
of
mine.
But is that part of it where we've heard about these late model homes where people, because land is such a premium, they're buying the property and immediately bulldozing and deconstructing whatever sweet little bungalow they had on it and doing new construction on that property?
Absolutely.
Okay.
People are constantly looking for where they ultimately want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not making any more lakes either.
Right.
Or at least I don't think they are.
No, I think some are drying up, sadly, with the floods that we have here. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, these are some of the reasons why, people are maybe sticker shocked a little bit by new construction. So we're going to continue talking a little bit about what, from Shelley's perspective, what you need to be considering from the mortgage mm-hmm. of new construction. And then there's lots of different types of new construction. There's, your custom builder, and then there's your big box builder.
Right.
That, have lots of different units available. But then there's some custom builders that if it's kind of like a hierarchy.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say, Ms. Shannon, you and I are going and we're looking at homes.
Yes.
And we've looked at 30.
Okay.
And you just hate every one of them.
Right.
And you can't figure out.
Why do you keep bringing me here?
You can't figure out why. You're so unhappy with what I'm showing you.
Right.
And I say to you, Ms. Shannon, you and I have been friends for a while. And mm-hmm. what I've observed after following you through these showings is that I think that the animal that you're looking for does not exist in this realm.
Right.
And maybe we should go look at new construction because mm-hmm. you have very specific design style and taste.
And I have to create that because it's not here.
And you are not happy with smudges on somebody's hallway wall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not happy with used carpet and you're very sensitive to smells.
Okay.
And so we go to new construction and you're like, gosh, this is so much better. Thank you for
because it's all new construction smell. Mm-hmm. Got you. Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, "Can I lay down on this carpet?" Is it hypoallergenic? And I'm like, you most certainly can. Yes. Let's do it.
And this is what I needed this whole time. I needed you to take me to my little slice of heaven, which is a house built with no one else touching it yet.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can say, I want the outlet on this place.
Right.
And I want that. And then you say to me, you know, I like this new construction.
Right.
But I don't know. It's still just not grabbing me.
Right.
So, you know, what other options do we have? And I say, well, I think you might be a candidate for, you know, custom building.
Right. Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's how you get showing there. Me all that these other houses. Elimination.
You've been showing me all these other houses. Now, what I really need is for you to let me build a castle.
And so,
and that's just what I'm going to have to do.
Then what we do, Ms. Shannon, is we take you straight to a custom builder, and we get to talk with an architect.
All right. Well, I'm excited about that. We're also going to talk more about working through that new construction pyramid with everyone. If you have any questions, you can also be part of the Red Hot Real Estate Show. The number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back.
Another Lori and Julia moment.
Can you give a big cheer for Kevin Costner?
Did I hear there's sort of a Q&A session during the concert?
Well, I think I've heard that, too. I'm kind of a passenger in my own life, but I think they wanted to have there be a Q&A. That's after the band plays for about 45 minutes, I guess. I'm kind of probably play a little bit of a home movie. So you just get a taste maybe of how my life works.
We really want a taste of it.
Kevin, that sounded so bad.
I know. I didn't mean to make it sound so bad.
Lori and Julia, listen live or podcast at any time at mytalk1071.com or on the My Talk app.
Ashley Home Stores.
Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1 and streaming on mytalk1071.com. Also want to encourage you to go ahead. You can find this episode and previous episodes in our app as well. Go ahead and download that in the App Store. With us, Ms. Shelley Ferris from Caliber Home Loans. And of course, Ms. Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Groups and Remax Results.
Okay. And so we left it off where we were now. You realize.
Yes, that I need a custom builder.
You have champagne taste. You do. And you're very particular.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And I want you to have everything you want. And that is what we're going to do.
Right.
And so then we make the appointment. We start looking at different custom builders and we start looking at price ranges, locations. Where are we going to find your lot?
Okay.
And so then I say to you, Ms. Shannon, well, we have got to call Shelley.
Right.
Because she is the money gal. And Shelley
shows
do you
up
do?
With a bag of money.
I wish it was that easy.
Me too.
And so, Ms. Shelley with Caliber Home Loans, let's talk about your perspective of new construction.
Okay. So, seeing much more new construction purchase agreements coming in than years prior, probably, I would say that's accurate. Surprising to see like how far out they are. Those are kind of some of the things that I'm noticing. Like, I have purchase agreements now that are closing in June of 2022 already. And my eyes are going, what the what?
Wow. Because on average, I thought you were going to say distance.
Yes.
It's like, but on average, when you're doing a custom build like that, what's the time frame, Shelley?
Yeah, I mean, depending, of course, on the size of the project, but they're usually a good 6-7 months.
Okay.
That's a normal custom build, I think, is a 6-7 month build.
Well, I think that even regular new construction right now is going 6 months plus.
Okay.
And where it used to maybe be 4-5 months. And now you're looking at people that are starting to inch that up all the way up to almost maybe a year.
Mm-hmm. Are they building in time for materials taking longer to arrive or to, you know, you have a smaller workforce that's doing the construction at the time? Is that part of a reason we're extending these?
It's everything that we mentioned.
Okay.
And obviously a shortage of lumber, which we're hearing is starting to get better.
Okay.
But there's all sorts of supplies that go into it. Just think about everything that's in a house, and all of that material has to come from someplace.
Right.
And with the demand that's going on in the Twin Cities, that, you know, it's just common sense to know that no matter what type of new construction, it's just going to take longer than you ever thought.
Okay.
So I bring Ms. Shannon to you. I refer her to you, Shelley. And so what is the process that somebody needs to know if they're thinking about doing this?
So when I take on a new construction prospect, we talk about timing. We talk about credit because that's going to change over that long of a period of time. Okay. We're going to have to re-pull credit within 4 months of you closing.
Right.
So we talk about what not to do, what to do, all of that. I talk about your job and when we're going to close depends on what documentation I'm going to need. Are you going to have filed your taxes yet? Do you get large commission checks? How is all of that going to come into play?
Okay.
Okay, so you mentioned something that's very important, and I think that we should break it down. What not to do? And this is a very long period of time. It's not like, you know, you're going to buy pre-existing home that typically takes between 30 and 60 days to close. And so you have very smaller window of time to make a mistake.
Right.
But if you've got a whole year,
you can really mess things up.
You can just go crazy and mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't even know, Shelley, until 4 months before. Right. And then there you go. You've put this enormous down payment with the builder that in the small print says that, you know, anything you do to mess this up
is
on you.
Is on you, and you jeopardized your earnest money. Right. Exactly right. So we watch credit really hard.
So what do you see people doing that messes people up? Let's just talk about the worst thing you've ever seen.
Well, the worst thing I ever saw was a guy bought a Stingray 4 days before closing.
Oh, but that's definitely an impulse buy you did not need.
A Stingray.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
You did not need
payment.
But you know what? That garages are very enticing for vehicle purchases. And I'm not kidding.
It's the truth.
And it's like,
so they just see the garage and they just get very excited. And
they visualize.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, this is not what you didn't need this today. You could have got that
tomorrow.
A month from now. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't go on Marketplace on Facebook. Do not don't go driving by the dealership on Sundays when they're closed. Because you're just gonna call them on Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're looking, it's not long before you're buying.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
But there's some things that I've heard, okay, well, I'm going on parental leave. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. There's lots of little things.
Right.
Or things that just seem normal in life that you can do that still mess you up. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So in a year, you could get a divorce.
You could get a divorce.
And you were going in as joint with two incomes.
Right.
Okay. So what if somebody do if that's happening?
Get married to somebody else. No.
Rebound.
You need to replace the income. I make light of it, but that's what you need to do, because if you needed two incomes at that time to qualify for what you're looking to do, you need to find another income.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm telling you, I've heard this saying before that if you ever really want to test your relationship,
build a house.
Yeah.
Oh.
You guys can verify that. The amount of decisions that you have to make.
Right.
If you just think about
it's hard to do a remodel with a spouse or a partner.
It's just go into Macy's and picking out an outfit for a wedding. Think of the choices.
Right.
You know, shoes, accessories, you know, dress, pants. What are you going to do? I mean, you think about every single room in that place. And that's why when you have the consultation with the builder, with the designer, you know, it's a lot overwhelming.
It truly is. Right. Yeah. Because you have to have the vision
to
be able to see what these handle pulls on these cabinets are going to look like with these countertops, with this flooring. I mean, I do not have that vision. I'm not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. You know, and so, Ms. Shannon, you are doing a project at your home, you've mentioned, and the choices that were probably made available to you just for that one project.
Right.
Think about the choices.
And I'm just doing things in the kitchen and then, and doing a privacy fence. And still I'm going, there was only four options. And I said, let me think on this.
Right.
Where should I put that? And so building an entire house
and
making those options, I mean, going through that selection for each and every room. There's some people, I'm sure that's their jam.
Yeah.
Like they love playing dress up.
Right.
They love playing house dress up.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I mean, really, outside of just being in like the textile section of a store, being in a design center is like amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's so good.
I hate it.
It's so good.
It looks neat when I watch it on a television show. I'm all like, I would like to walk through and just pick a thing. But I could see where, you know, some people, that's their jam. And some people, it would just be very overwhelming. So having somebody that can you just really need to full disclosure who you are as a human being.
Yes.
So that you can go, how am I going to work through this? Because it is a lot.
Know yourself.
Yeah. And you might go, I don't want to make this many decisions. And that's where you're at now.
Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so in all seriousness, let's talk a little bit more, Shelley, about some of the
things that went sideways.
That go wrong on a routine basis. Let's just say that they were planning on using stock as part of their money to purchase. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as we all know, no control over the stock market. And so how do you handle a client that wants to use stock but wants to keep it in the market?
As long as they can.
Do you recommend that they pull that out so that it's in a safe zone? Or how do you recommend? So,
I make them pull it out a minimum of 30 days prior to closing. That's a minimum.
Okay.
And so hopefully the market hasn't hit it in that time, or they're going to have to replace the money somewhere else with a 401k or a gift or something
and
like that.
What is the worst case scenario, 30 days. But what do you really, your heart of hearts as a counselor of finance, what do you think they ought to do? Do it right then when they sign the purchase agreement and then put it into a secure place?
Well, that's what's the most safe. There's no doubt about it. That's what is absolutely the most safe.
So you have less likelihood of fluctuation.
Exactly right.
It probably isn't going to be the most if that stock
they
went
might
10 times
more.
Up. Right. Yeah. But at least you know you have it.
It's there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is what I would recommend and counsel, because how do you know? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing, too, with your 401k. So we'll continue talking about all of these scenarios with new construction when we come back.
Also want to remind you, go to our website. It's mytalk1071.com. Use the keyword red hot. Get this episode and previous episodes. We'll be right back with our friend Shelley Ferris and our friend. Oh, we got another second. See, this is my fault. I told you we should stop talking when we shouldn't stop talking until we get to a certain point. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1, also streaming on mytalk1071.com and easily available in the My Talk app. I'm Ms. Shannon here with Shelley Ferris from Caliber Home Loans and, of course, the lovely and talented Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results.
Okay. Well, I think that this is a fascinating subject, and Shelley, you were talking with us about one-time closes, and you have a very strong opinion about that, and I'd like for you to share it with
everybody. Sure. So one-time close, a lot of builders out there, you're hearing this from them, you're maybe even seeing it as you're walking through parade models, etc. One-time close sounds like a good idea, right? Why would I want two closes, Shelley? Doesn't that sound expensive? It sounds like a hassle. I gotta appease you, and then I gotta appease them. I just want one close. One-time close. It's so great. No, it's not. So why isn't it? So one-time close means this. Yes, let's define it first. You're going to close on the financing for the builder to construct your home, and you're closing on your end mortgage all at the same time.
Okay.
They share costs. That sounds great. That I'd only have to go through this process once. That sounds great. Lots of things sound great about it. However, you lose control when you do a one-time close, because you're not at market interest rate. You hear about how great rates are now, like in the twos. I just locked one at 2.875 the other day. This past week. Those are not the interest rates that you're going to get on a one-time close. You're going to be higher than that. And it's because they can't anticipate what the market's going to be at the time when the house is actually complete. So they close you at an anticipated rate. Mm-hmm. And that is not market rate. And everybody wants the cheapest rate, don't they? So this is to appease your builder because he's concerned about two closes. It's not necessarily in your best interest.
Right.
So ask the questions.
Okay. So in practicality, Ms. Shannon is buying this new construction home and she's been presented with the one-time close option. And so I tell Ms. Shannon, I think you should talk to Shelley. Shelley, what are you going to advise Ms. Shannon?
The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to educate Ms. Shannon as to what it means. And I'm going to show you an example of a one-time close and what your options are, and an example of how a two-time close goes, where
because
you close on the construction
loan. The title
first.
Just makes it sound like, well, clearly you want to go with that for ease of use, for all of these reasons, because it sounds like the right option I should take.
Right.
Well, so I would imagine that you're from a practicality, you're thinking of all the money you're going to save in closing costs and also in your origination fees. And so how do you combat that? And I say, well, you know, two origination fees for a two-time close, why is that better?
Right.
Why isn't that? Why is a one-time close not better than that? What,
right.
What is the reason?
So the costs that you are quote unquote eliminating by doing a one-time close versus a two-time close, they're not doubled up on a two-time close.
Oh, okay.
So you're not paying two origination fees. You're not paying two appraisal fees and two title fees. Everything's shared anyway. And so the costs that you're paying for the second close are the costs for that you would pay in the one-time close.
Okay.
So it just goes together and you get to have that market rate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Why would you want to agree in August of this year at a 3.625 rate on a one-time close when you might be able to get 2.5 next spring?
Mm-hmm.
You might not, but you might.
Right.
And you for sure won't if you locked and you settled at the 3.5.
So are you saying, from what you've seen and heard as a mortgage professional, that sometimes that interest rate, the privilege of a one-time close, is at least a half a point?
Right.
Or
yes.
More?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about a half a point. Yeah. And that's a lot of money over the course of 30 years.
Yes.
And why does a builder want that? Well, guess what? If you've closed and now he can start building the house, you lose your job in 2 months, no skin off his mark. He mm-hmm. gets to still close on the house. So, of course, he wants one-time close. He doesn't want any of these things to happen like we talked about that could happen in the 9 months period of time. So
gotcha.
It keeps control.
Okay. So
when you're hearing that, that's what they're telling you.
Definitely when you're sitting down to talk finances for new construction and you're presented with this option, you want to have that laid out on paper where you can see at the end of the 30 years how much interest you have paid.
Right.
And why do you want to have to go and refinance that again?
Right.
Just to save on the rate? You don't. It's just beware.
Mm-hmm.
Make an educated decision about it and, you know, and try and make the best decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Shelley, you know, what's the best way for everybody to get a hold of you to have questions about new construction?
The very best way is my cell phone, 612-839-6918.
Okay. And so in the last little bit of this segment, let's talk about your ability to help folks buy first mm-hmm. and sell second.
We've really been successful with that this year. So what I do is I qualify you with the debt of your existing house and the debt of the new house, whether it's new construction or new existing house. And you want to do that because then you don't have to buy contingent, because that's not attractive, is it?
Right.
No.
From a listing perspective.
Never in this realm right now would you entertain contingent if you didn't have to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think to yourself, well, it's no big deal. I've got an asset. You know, it is a big deal when somebody can come in and get it done in 45 days, it makes them way more attractive.
Right. And there's nothing that can dishevel them.
Right.
You know, if this other deal falls apart, the sale of your existing home, now what happens to you buying? Can you even qualify with both and all?
And what happens is multiple closings that you have to monitor and be stressed out about. So if I'm making an offer on your house and
right.
I've got to wait till I get my buyer and that buyer closes, so you've got a chain. And that's why contingencies are not looked at all that favorably.
Right, exactly.
For a while, it didn't seem like it mattered. Like, there was so much room in the market, like 10 years ago, that all of these things were all just commonplace, it sounds like.
Just everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the stock market. It's
right.
up and down, different
exactly.
things, different programs. But you, as far as like buying first, selling second,
yes.
it's a simple process.
It is.
It will free you up to make a non-contingent offer on your purchase. And then you have the luxury of getting your house ready in an organized and timely manner, but you're not killing yourself
right.
to have all of the things that go with showings. And, you know, that brings up another point. If that is something that you've thought about that really stresses you out, we want to talk with you about what selling a house actually could entail.
Right.
You don't have to sell your house to iBuyers just for this convenience. It is just not that difficult with somebody who's helping you work your way through it. So you can reach out to us, Mimi at mnredhotrealestate.com. Anytime you can also keyword the show here, Red Hot, and we'd love to talk with you about your real estate needs.
And what's your text number again?
651-578-2218.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show on My Talk 107.1.